Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this ninth day of October 2021. Getting pretty close to the end of the year, and this year has really gone by quickly. I think we said that last year, too. Welcome to those that are listening to the recording of today's service and those that are joining us on the phone. And so glad to have you all with us in fellowship. Before we get into our study book, it's time for opening prayer. And please bow your heads with me. Precious Father, we thank you for the great privilege of meeting together in the name of Jesus, and we pray that thy presence will continue to be with us, blessing us with the light and the truth and the love and the joy that surrounds you and your throne. We pray that the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit as well will continue to be abiding guests with us. Spirit, continue to open our eyes and understanding to the meaning of the words of inspiration that we will be studying through. We pray that you will help us to spot all the gems of truth that are there that we are able to recognize, provide us the understanding and the comprehension to know its meaning and its application to our lives, and help our memory to be retentive, that we will not forget the things that we have learned today, but that we may remember them and be able to study them more deeply in our private study, and then be able to share them with others that they too can be benefited. And in sharing, the truth is that much more fixed in our minds and our memories to become part of our character. Be with those that were unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath, and help their eyes to be directed upward, that by beholding Jesus, they can become changed more and more into his perfect, righteous, and loving image. And bring them back into fellowship with us again soon. Please also be with those that are sick, that are sorrowing, that are tempted or tormented. We pray that you will help them to look to Jesus as their great physician and healer, as well as deliverer and guide through all the different problems of life. And thank you, dear Spirit, for being a constant presence with us in reproving and correcting and instructing us in the way of righteousness, and also a comfort through all of the different situations we may find ourselves in. And thank you, dear Father, for the great privilege of meeting together once again, having the freedom to do so in all the varied parts of the earth, and to come together in fellowship with thee and one another. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, Sabbath blessings, dear ones, and we are continuing in our study book, The Desire of Ages. We're in chapter 83, The Walk to Emmaus, and we were discussing in the previous service, children's service, how individuals could have the plain truth given to them and yet they do not recognize the importance of it. And here with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Christ himself joined with them and they did not recognize it. But it again shows the love and compassion that Christ had for these two disciples to personally come to them to try and help them understand the significance of what had occurred over the weekend. And dear ones, Christ is the same today as he was back then. And it shows you that Christ will come to you personally to try and help you to understand what you need to learn for just such a time as that. So as they're walking down the road, they reveal to Christ the things that are bothering him. And then Christ, they thought he was a stranger. Christ then reproved them and said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe everything that the prophets in the Old Testament have written about the Messiah." And so here's a stranger that's reproving him, right? And that kind of startles them. So they're really paying attention. And then Christ goes through from Genesis all the way to Malachi and reveals to them the prophecies pointing to the Messiah, the Son of God, the Anointed One, and what he would go through when he came to earth. And you can imagine as Christ was relaying the different prophecies from the different prophets, that the Spirit was right there opening their understanding, saying, "Yeah, I remember reading that. Wow, it applies to the Messiah. I never knew that." And that just continued on and on and on, growing within them until it became so plain that everything that happened to Jesus is exactly what was prophesied would happen to the Messiah. Even his death and his resurrection. So then the resurrection had to be true. And you can imagine their astonishment. And now instead of depression and despondency, they're hopeful. Yes, Jesus is risen. That's amazing. And of course, I got to tell others. It's been prophesied and it's happened right before our eyes and we didn't even recognize it. And that shows the importance of not becoming so busy in the things of this earth, the household duties, the job responsibilities, the family necessities, that you don't have time to spend quietly with Jesus. You can become so mentally tied up that the very plain understanding of prophecy escapes your notice. It could be happening all around you, and yet its impact and importance is not discerned. So indeed, spend some quiet time with Jesus so that you can have your mind emptied from all the necessities of life and now able to hear his voice speaking to you. And so now we pick it up at the new paragraph, beginning at the top of page 800, again, chapter 83 of Desire of Ages. Thus Christ discoursed with his disciples, opening their minds that they might understand the scriptures. The disciples were weary, but the conversation did not flag. Words of life and assurance fell from the Savior's lips, but still their eyes were holden. As he told them of the overthrow of Jerusalem, they looked upon the doomed city with weeping. But little did they yet suspect who their traveling companion was. They did not think that the subject of their conversation was walking by their side, for Christ referred to himself as though he were another person. They thought that he was one of those who had been in attendance at the great feast and who was now returning to his home, the Passover feast. He walked as carefully as they over the rough stones, now and then halting with them for a little rest. Thus they proceeded along the mountainous road, while the one who was soon to take his position at God's right hand, and who could say, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," walked beside them. Matthew 28:18. So here was the Son of God, who had all power in heaven and in earth, chose to spend these few hours in personal companionship with two of his disciples, just to help them understand. He's the same Savior today, dear one. Any thoughts or comments or questions on this paragraph? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
During the journey, the sun had gone down, and before the travelers reached their place of rest, the laborers in the fields had left their work. As the disciples were about to enter their home, the stranger appeared as though he would continue his journey. But the disciples felt drawn to him. Their souls hungered to hear more from him. "Abide with us," they said. He did not seem to accept the invitation, but they pressed it upon him, urging, "It is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Christ yielded to this entreaty and went in to tarry with them.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Now, in the previous paragraph, it had mentioned that Christ did not refer to himself as the Messiah, but as someone else. If you look at it here, let me underline it. It says here that Christ referred to himself as though he were another person. And then when we come down to this paragraph here, they didn't recognize who Christ was. They thought he was a stranger. And Christ appeared to be walking, continuing down the path instead of turning aside to the inn. So why would Christ not tell the disciples who he really was? And then not turn in with them to the inn at first, but continue to walk down the road? Why would Christ do that?
He wanted an invitation. He wanted to know that they wanted him.
Amen. He was testing their hearts. If they knew that he was Christ, well, you know, they would invite him everywhere. But here, they didn't recognize he was Christ. They thought he was just a stranger. And so their interest in him is being tested. Are we going to want a stranger to come in and share the inn with us? Or because he's a stranger, are we just going to let him pass on his way, even though he's benefited us greatly with understanding the scriptures? So their hearts are being tested. Their care for a stranger is being tested. Now, night is approaching. If the stranger continues down the road, where is he going to sleep? How is he going to continue to walk in the dark, you know? So their care for another human being is being called into play. Do they care more for their own comfort than they do for another human being? So Christ is testing their hearts, testing whether they really live up to keeping the last six commandments, which deals with love to your fellow human beings as to yourself. And so, with their hearts being tested, they say, well, you know, don't continue down the way. Come in and abide with us in the inn. In other words, share our room. And Christ then doesn't seem to hear them, doesn't seem to accept the invitation, but continues walking down the way. Why didn't Christ accept their first invitation to sup with him?
He wanted to see if they really meant it or if they were just being polite.
A great, great response. Amen. Amen. Some people, just for the sake of appearances, will say, well, you know, come join with us in lunch. They really don't mean it, but, you know, they want to be polite. And so if the individual says, well, no, that's okay. That's okay. I'll go somewhere else. And they leave it at that. Then it's like they really didn't want the person to join them in lunch. They were just, for the sake of appearances, wanting to appear concerned about their welfare. So even though their hearts were being tested and they had passed the first test, they're still being tested to see if they really mean it. If they really have a concern for this stranger not being out on the road all night long, sleeping under the stars, and who knows what kind of animals or robbers might find him, you know? So they urge their request. Come spend the night with us. It's toward the evening. The day is far spent. You can't make it too much farther down the road before you're in complete darkness. So come and spend the night with us. And then in the morning you can go. And Christ then yielded. So if they wouldn't have urged the request, Christ would not have gone in with them. So they were tested to see if they had a care for a stranger. They passed the first test. Then they were tested again to see if they really loved the stranger. And they passed that test. And then Christ went in with them, and they were more greatly blessed. Can you think of any other instances in the scripture where heavenly beings tested God's people to see if they really had a concern for the stranger and had a love for the stranger? Amen. Lot and the two angels. Yeah, amen. And with Abraham too, and the three strangers that turned out to be Christ and two heavenly angels. Gideon, you want to explain that a little more, brother? With Gideon, it's escaping me at the moment. You want to share a little more?
It was when Gideon was threshing the wheat. That's when and Christ came down unto him and told him that God chose him to save his people from the Midianite army. And Gideon wasn't sure at first. But God assured him that he would defeat him as if he was facing one man. And he even performed signs to help Gideon be assured by burning up the unleavened bread and that meat that he gave him. And even the test with the fleece later on too.
Thank you, brother. And amen. Amen. Some other thoughts here, mentioned Abraham and the three strangers, the widow and her son with Elijah, amen. Rahab, a little more information with Rahab, it's also escaping me. And thank you, dear sister. True. Rahab hid the two spies. That's right. I mean, they weren't angels, but yet she was blessed by doing so. Amen. Some other comments. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Thank you. And Paul in Hebrews tells us that we are to entertain strangers, and in doing so, we may just indeed entertain angels unawares. So here we see that God has a concern for strangers. He cares for them, even though they don't know him or may not know him. And part of manifesting God's care for strangers falls to his people manifesting a concern for the welfare of strangers. And God tests this resolve, this care, this love for strangers among his people by sometimes himself or heavenly beings coming down and appearing as strangers to test his followers. And if they pass the test, they're greatly blessed. If they fail the test, then they lose out on that blessing they could have had. There's still time for them to overcome their selfish fears regarding strangers and allow the love of God to be manifested through them to strangers. You know, a lot of times when we see an individual in need and we have no idea who they are, the thought comes up, should we help them? And then another thought comes up, but what if they do us harm? You know, what if they're a malicious stalker, or they have ulterior motives, or whatever it might be? And when that happens, especially in this very wicked world, we need to dart a prayer to God and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I represent you in this situation? And then go with how God leads. And you will be blessed by doing so. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? Questions?
I like the sentence, their souls hungered to hear more from him. Abide with us.
Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Had the disciples failed to press their invitation, they would not have known that their traveling companion was the risen Lord. Christ never forces his company upon anyone. He interests himself in those who need him. Gladly will he enter the humblest home and cheer the lowliest heart. But if men are too indifferent to think of the heavenly guests or ask him to abide with them, he passes on. Thus, many meet with great loss. They do not know Christ any more than did the disciples as he walked with them by the way.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Any questions or comments on this paragraph? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
A simple evening meal of bread is soon prepared. It is placed before the guest who has taken a seat at the head of the table. Now he puts forth his hands to bless the food. The disciples start back in astonishment. Their companion spreads forth his hands in exactly the same way as their master used to do. They look again, and lo, they see in his hands the print of nails. Both exclaim at once, "It is the Lord Jesus! He has risen from the dead!" They rise to cast themselves at his feet and worship him, but he has vanished out of their sight. They look at the place which had been occupied by one whose body had lately lain in the grave and say to each other, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" What a revelation.
Amen. What a revelation indeed. Now, they had all the scriptures that pointed to the truth that the Messiah would die, be in the grave for 3 days, and then be resurrected, and thus would be risen. And that time was that very day, early in the morning. So they had the scriptures that proved it. But they did not have any visible evidence. So they had enough proof based on scriptures to accept it by faith, but they didn't have any physical evidence. And so when the stranger came in with them and they ordered bread, they purchased it, and now they're sitting at the table. Jesus then stands up, spreads forth his hands to bless the meal, and they recognize that it's him. And just to make sure, they look at his hands and they see the nail prints there. So they know without a doubt it's him. That great blessing and that great power being given to their faith would have all been lost if they had not urged the stranger to come in with them and spend the night. And they were tested twice. The first test was to see if they had enough care and politeness to invite the stranger. And the second test was to see if they had enough love and concern for the stranger. Two tests. Any other thoughts or comments? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones?
Hello, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath, dear sister. Do you have some thoughts or questions or anything else?
I'm just coming in and I'm just hearing the lesson I am.
Glad you're here, dear sister. Are there any others who have thoughts or questions or comments that they'd like to give?
So, you were saying that, they have not seen it yet. So when you had mentioned that, it brought to my mind that, this is when the Lord says that the word of God is the bread of life. And when we study and read our Bibles, the Lord afterwards gives us an experience to show that what he has given us is from him or and is the truth. So that's when it becomes a living testimony. So for them to have known from just based off of things that they've heard and read, Now the Lord is here to present to them everything. Basically, Jesus came to fulfill the law. So he came and he showed them what they've already known by reading and studying.
Amen, amen. And what a merciful Savior to give us an experience that takes what we've learned and fixes it in our heart, becoming a living testimony that we can share with others. And you know good and well these disciples are going to share what they just found out. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I knew about Jesus from reading scriptures, and you read that Jesus is your friend, and I thought, how do you really get to know Jesus? You can know about him, but how do you know him as a friend? And I thought about how we treat our friends. We want to spend time with them. And because we spend time with them and we get to know them, they become our friends. But it takes spending time with them and giving them your attention and your time in order to know them. And we have to do the same thing with Jesus. If he's our friend, we have to treat him like one. We have to spend time with him and open our hearts to him and listen to what he says.
Amen. And I think it's in Proverbs, it mentions that if you want to have friends, you have to show yourself friendly. In other words, you have to spend time in a friendly way with those you want to be friends with. It's the same with Jesus. He's knocking on our door as a friend. Let me in so I can spend time with you and develop my friendship with you. And if you let him in, then you can develop your friendship with him. But if you never take the time to show yourself friendly to Jesus, then that relationship is very weak. It may just be in words only. It may just be in intentions only, but no substance to it. So you can have the greatest intentions all your day to be a real Christian, but if you never put the intentions into actions, it's just words. So let us show ourselves friendly to Jesus and develop that friendship, because that will last for eternity if we do. Sister Nicole, you had your mic up.
Hi, yes. Sabbath blessings, everyone. I have a testimony to share with you. I'll make it quick, but it's twofold. One, to share my testimony, and two, I think that if we all think back, we can probably remember times that we've experienced the same thing. A few years ago, my husband and I went to Applebee's for dinner. It was dark, so it was in the late fall. And we were approached by an elderly couple in the parking lot. When I say elderly couple, I'll kind of give you an idea. My husband and I are in our late 50s, early 60s, so they're elderly to us. They had to be in their mid to late 70s. The man and woman walked up to us very humble and kind, and the man proceeded to tell us that his wife was just released from the hospital that day, and they were hungry, and he wanted to know if we could give them some money so he could get his wife some dinner somewhere. My husband instinctively reached in his pocket for money. But at that second, something leaped in my heart And I instantly put my hand over his hand, reaching in his pocket, and I stopped him, which isn't like me, but I did. And out of my mouth came, "We generally don't give money to people. However, we would be honored if you would join us for dinner." The elderly man said, no, they couldn't do that. And I said, please join us for dinner. It would make our evening. We would be just honored for you to spend time with us. And the elderly man insisted that he could not do that. So I said, well, please let your wife join us. At least she'll be able to sit down in a warm environment and get something to eat, and she'll be replenished. And him and his wife looked at each other, and he agreed. During this time of interaction, the man was very, very protective and loving towards his wife. You could see that in his eyes, in his movements, and his touch on her wrist as he was talking. And he walked with us to the front door of Applebee's, and we walked in. We asked for a seating for four. Even though there were only going to be three of us, we said for four, just in case her husband decided to join us. When they went to seat us in the restaurant, they showed us our table. My husband and I sat down, but the woman would not sit down at our table. She purposely sat at the table next to us, across the little aisleway. So she was directly across from us, but she wouldn't sit at our table. Even when I tried to coax her to join us, she refused. So in my head, I'm thinking, Lord, how can I get her to join us? And in a small voice, he said, just talk to her. So we proceeded to talk with her and, you know, how are you? And we introduced ourselves. The waitress came and introduced herself, and she wanted to take our order. We ordered a full-on dinner, and we told the waitress, whatever this woman would like to have, please bring her. The woman said all she wanted was a little cup of soup, and she ordered. I'm not generally pushy. I feel like I'm a relatively humble person, but I interjected and I said, I'm sorry, that's not going to do. My husband and I will order for her. I said, please bring her the soup, but then we also ordered a meal for her. And then I said, we'd also like for you to bring another little something we wanted in a to-go container. The woman didn't object. The waitress went on her way. And we started talking, and we were just conversing back and forth. How are you? How long have you lived here? How did you get here? Did you guys drive to Applebee's? Her response was, no, we walked. And at the time of the conversation, my husband and I weren't putting little pieces of the puzzle together. We were just conversing with this woman, trying to get her to feel a little bit more comfortable with us. Right before the food came, I asked again, hey, instead of just talking over the aisle, would you like to come and join us at our table? And she said, yes, she would. So she did get up. She moved over to our table and we started talking. And then when dinner came, I told her that my husband and I pray. Would you mind if we just stop for a minute so that my husband and I can pray over the dinner? And she just leaped. She was like, oh, no, yes, let's pray. So we held hands and we prayed for dinner. Throughout the dinner, we just, you know, just normal conversation, just chit-chatting and whatnot. And then dinner was over and it was time to go. We asked for the ticket. The woman said she needed to go to the restroom. So she got up and she went to the restroom. While she was gone, the manager of Applebee's came over to our table. And he said, I'm so sorry to interrupt your dinner, but I have something to share with you. And we said, sure, we know what's going on. And he said, on behalf of all the people in the restaurant and myself, we want to thank you.
That elderly man and his wife have literally been out in that parking lot all day long begging for food. And what he said kind of hit me, you know, kind of weird. I'm thinking, well, if they've been out there all day long, why didn't somebody help them? That was my first thought. And he went on to say, you know, he really appreciated it, and he noticed what we did, and others on his staff noticed what we did, and on behalf of them, he was thanking us. And we said, no thank you necessary. It was our honor. Thank you for a wonderful dinner, da-da-da-da-da. He went on his way. The elderly woman came back from the restroom, and we all proceeded to get up. We walked to the front so we paid our bill. She walked out the door. My husband signed the receipt to pay our bill. We walked out the door. Before the door had even closed from her, we were opening again. That's the time. That's the lapse of time. We opened that door, and they were nowhere to be found. We were going to ask them if they needed a ride home because they had walked. We looked everywhere. My husband looked around the corner. He started worrying, what if something happened? And then as I'm walking down the path thinking, where did they go? I was reminded by the Holy Spirit that sometimes he sends angels your way just to see how you're going to respond. And at that moment, my heart just pressed against me and tears came to my eyes. And all I could do was say, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't fail you. And when you think about the story, all the little signs we were given, but until that story had come to fruition, we didn't see God's greater plan. So thank you for letting me sharing that, because that story is so near and dear to my husband's and my heart.
Amen. What a powerful testimony, dear sister, and thank you so much for sharing it. What a blessing would have been missed out if you had not given in to the strong impressions to put your hand on your husband's hand to prevent him from giving them money and actually showing greater Christian concern and love for their present welfare. Praise God indeed. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones?
That was a very wonderful, good testimony. That was very nice.
I would like to share testimony. I have encountered this kind of situations many times as a truck driver, you know. I sometimes, when I'm impressed, I usefully give something. That depends on the impressions that I get. But there are times also that I'm not able to give when I see, you know, I have to look at the people, the persons asking for it. There was a time when we went to buy some food in Dallas, close to Dallas, and sometimes it's the strangers actually sometimes approach to you asking for money, you know. But this kind of a stranger, he was only sitting down, and he put a big sign right there. I don't steal. I'm honest person. And he had his bicycle, and he had a little trailer that he towed from his bicycle. And I can see that he probably sleep in that, in that trailer, because I saw the blanket right there. And I can tell that he really needs some help. He was not asking for money, but the Lord impressed me that I'm going to the restaurant buying some food, and this guy here might need something, you know. So the Lord impressed me, after we ordered the food, the Lord impressed me to give some money. And as soon as I give him the money, he said, thank you and God bless you. He actually went to the restaurant, the place my wife ordered the food, and he went inside and ordered his food as well. And I said, Lord, thank you that I was able to help this guy. He must have been hungry for how many hours, you know, or probably did not eat any meal. So, and so the Lord was so, I was so happy that, I was able to, you know, give him something that he can eat. Because there are times I give some money that I don't even know what they do with the money, you know. But this, I was able to see it, that he was blessed with the help that I give. So that's just one testimony I have.
Amen. And that's why I mentioned, when you find yourself in that kind of a situation where, you know, your heart is being tugged to help someone, dart a prayer to God and ask him to let you know if this is someone who is worthy to be supported or helped, or is this someone that's just putting on the act that they need help so that they can receive help, even though they really don't need it. And God will impress you, and he will definitely guide you in how to help, whether it's giving them financial help or whether it's giving them help in food or in whatever area they need. God will indeed impress you. Yeah, go ahead, dear sister.
Sabbath, everyone. Hugs and love. Generally on Sabbath, nobody ever hears from me. It's only on Friday nights. But being on the topic of angels, which I have feel that in my life I've encountered many times, praise the Lord. But this was a little bit different. Many years, and some of you heard this before, many years ago, I had a old minivan, and I was taking my brother somewhere. We were not even close to home anywhere. And we came across a crossroad, you know, north, south, east, and west, and I blew a tire. I didn't even know if we had a spare tire back in those days. In the meantime, I said, what are we going to do? I said, please, Lord, help me get the van out of, at least out of the road. And my brother, he's not physically capable of doing a lot of things, but he could help at the time. And look, I'm 5 foot tall. I could push the van as far as I can push it. But God gave me the strength, praise the Lord. As soon as we got over to one of the corners on the crossroads, once again, there was a young guy that came on a bicycle. And I'm not saying this derogatorily, but he kind of looked like the guys that used to go to the day labor place. So I'm not generalizing or stereotyping anybody, but in our area, that's what I kind of thought. So in the meantime, he came over and he said, can I help you? And I said, I appreciate it. I said, but I really don't have any money to give you. I said, I'm kind of down to my last, you know, couple of dollars. He said, that's okay. I'll help you anyway. In the meantime, I said, I don't even know if we have a spare tire. But evidently the spare tire was underneath the minivan. This young guy got underneath there, took the tire down, changed the tire. It was a little low on air, but on the other crossroads, you know, usually on the corners, there's a couple of, gas stations / 7-Elevens or whatever they are. So in the meantime, he helped me very nicely, and then my brother came out. And he said, the guy just wants your money. I said, I told him I didn't have any money. So when I walked down to the end of where he was, and I said to him, I said, you know what? Praise the Lord. I said, I thank you very much. And I said, will you pray with me? And I said, thank you, Father God, for sending this angel in disguise. This was my terminology. And he looked at me and he said to me, and this is the God's honest truth. He said, amen and bless you, sister. He said, do you know we're living in the end times? And I said, excuse me? He said, do you know we're living in the end times? And I said, well, I believe I do. I said, from what I've been reading and what God has been showing me, yes. And at that moment, I had $20 to my name that would have lasted me until the end of the month. And for some reason, the spirit tugged on my heart and I went into the vehicle. Now, mind you, I'm in the back of a minivan. It was a caravan minivan. My brother's in the passenger seat. And I told the young guy, I said, I'll be right back in a second. I went up to the vehicle to get the $20 out of the middle console, walked back there, and he was gone. Now, this guy was on a bicycle, not a vehicle, not on feet. He was on a bicycle. The crossroads were, you know, north, south, east, and west. You can only go so fast on a bicycle and go so far. And he was gone. I got chills up and down my spine, and I said, there's nothing more than an angel of God that came to help me. And there's not a human being on the planet Earth that can tell me any different, because I believe that. That's not the first time in my life that encounter had happened. Many years ago, I was upstate New York. They call it Hunter Mountain. There's only one way up the mountain and one way down. Very dangerous. And I was up on the mountain. A friend of mine's mother and father had a small camper for sale, a driving one, a little small one. And I took a bus and a train to where they were. They picked me up, and I went up to the mountain to get it. Now, this is in the wintertime. Snowplows don't like to go up these mountains on the snow time. So I had my two children, and at that time, they were small children. And I had them in there, and I said, please help me get this down the hill safely. We're driving, and we got into Virginia, which I had no idea anything about anything. We were detoured off the side of the road, and we pulled into this small kind of convenience store, which gave me the creeps. I told my kids to lay down on the floor, don't move, because I didn't want anybody to know I had children in that vehicle. I pulled up to the pumps, and I went inside, and I said, please, Lord, this looks like one of those scary movies where you drive up somewhere, and you're never seen again, and your driver's license is on the wall, and that's it. I said, please, Lord God. So I went in there, and I was talking to the man up front, and all of a sudden, there was a guy behind me. He was pretty tall, maybe about 6'2", 6'4". He was a trucker guy. He had his truck out there, an 18-wheeler. He said to me, he said, I'm going out on the main road. He said, if you would like to follow me, you can. So for a second, I paused, and I said, wow. I said, is this how they really catch all these people back here? You know, follow the driver, and then you get down to another road with a whole bunch of people waiting for you to catch you. I said, please, Lord, you know, help me. So I said, okay, I'd appreciate that. So I got into the vehicle. I told my children to lay low, and we pulled out. It was pouring rain, and I followed him, because if you follow a truck too far, an 18-wheeler, you kind of get sucked up a little bit behind them. So I didn't want to get too close to them. And I'm driving down the road, and I can't hardly see anything. I'm saying, please, God, make sure that this is the right thing that you want me to do. I was scared, but I wasn't in fear. I guess the human fear was there, but the spiritual fear was, I put my trust in God, and there was nothing else I could do. So we get out on the main highway, and the relief over my body just kind of went, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, you know, for letting me go. So in the meantime, I said, let me catch up with this guy. And usually with the truck drivers, you can flash them, like, thank you. If you flash the lights a certain way, you know, it shows them, thank you. I went to go and flash him. When I moved up the road a little bit, I couldn't find that 18-wheeler to save anybody. It was gone. Up and down the road, that 18-wheeler was gone. And now you're talking about a bicycle or people in a parking lot, which was a wonderful, wonderful gift from God. But an 18-wheeler, and it's gone on the two-lane, or actually four-lane highway, but two lanes going in one direction. It was gone. And I said, thank you, Lord God. And, you know, for anybody that doesn't believe that God sends angels to you or help when you need it, I live by 1 Corinthians 10:13. You know, God never gives you any more than you can handle. And if you can't, he always makes a way out for you. And I'm ad-libbing to it, obviously, because I'm sitting out here. But in the meantime, the bottom line is, if anybody's out there listening to these stories and tales that we tell about how God is kind and merciful and how he maybe does send an angel for a test, or maybe he does send an angel for help, you know, but that's up to God for how he utilizes his angels for what at that time, what is necessary, whether it was a test of faith to see if he would feed somebody for mercy and kindness, or was it you were desperately in need of help. But God's always there, and he's always on time. And even when you have doubt and you say, God, where have you been? I can't hear you. Well, maybe you haven't spoken to him loud enough lately either. So this is what I tell people. You always want God to hear your prayers, but how many times do you call him unless you need him? You can't be a fair weather friend to the Lord. You have to speak to him all the time. You know, not just when you need him, because God's there all the time. He owes us nothing and gives us everything. And that's my testimony. Happy Sabbath. Hugs and love to all. God bless.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister, for sharing your two testimonies. Wonderful how God intervenes and comes to our rescue, even though we do not recognize it at the time. Any other thoughts, comments, or testimonies, dear ones, that you'd like to share?
I'm sure Elder Robert will remember this one. We had had car trouble on a trip through the desert states, and we were in Arizona, and they supposedly fixed our car. We had a neighbor kid with us named George, and we got down a huge hill, and the car engine was heating up, and we had no more water to put in it. And at that point, we had just gone through a town that looked like it was half deserted. So my husband and Elder Robert and his friend George and Cindy and me got out of the car and walked back to a deserted gas station at that point. But it had a telephone booth in it. And standing in the telephone booth was a man that looked just like he'd lived in the desert. His shirt was ratty, he had a scraggly beard, and he was talking on the phone. And I thought, wow, isn't that just like a life? You need a telephone and somebody's there in the telephone booth. We didn't have cell phones in those days. Anyway, while we were waiting for him to get out of the telephone booth, my husband said to me, you and Cindy go around on the other side of the gas station out of sight, because he looked that mean and hungry. Anyway, a pickup truck pulled up. And there was two young boys in the back of it, teenage boys, and the woman was the driver. And she said to me, is that your car parked down the road? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you're in luck. She said, that's my husband in the telephone booth, and he's the only mechanic around here for miles. And it's like, oh, my heart lifted when I heard that. He got out of the booth, and he accompanied us down. We all got in the truck. He accompanied us down to the car. He looked at the engine, and he said, Well, I've got good news. Your engine isn't blown. All you need to do is have some water. And Blythe was 90 miles away from there. And it was hot. It was in the evening, but it was still really, really hot. And he said, do you have any water? And we said, no. We were coming back to the station to see if we could get some water, but the faucets were shut off. And he says, well, he said, I'll take you to my house. He said, do you have anything to put water in? All we had was a 30-gallon ice chest. He said, we'll put water in that for you. So we went with him to his house, and the yard was full of broken down cars, rusting. He had a water tank, so we knew that he had to pay for his water. He filled that 30-gallon ice chest up with water, and he wouldn't take any money for it. He said, no. He said, you just pass on the good deed to someone else down the line that needs it, and I'm glad I could help you. So we made it to Blythe. It took us 10 hours because about every 5 minutes we had to stop and put water in the radiator of the car. And when we got to Blythe, it was about 90 degrees in the morning. We were looking for a shade tree, something to get under. It was, it was 7. It was already 90 degrees at 7. And my husband said, I'm going to ask this person in this motel. It was named Astro Motel. If we can have a room just to get out of the heat. And the man said, well, I don't open up the rooms until 11, but he said there's a couple that stayed here just to get out of the heat. And he said, you can have their room to get out of the heat until we get one cleaned up, and then you can move to that room. It was 122 degrees that day. Praise the Lord, but praise the Lord for kindness of strangers. And we can all be kind to each other. That's the love that God puts in our heart to watch out for our neighbors, even if we don't know them. And praise the Lord, we had that experience.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I remember very well. It was 122 that day. I was amazed it could get that hot. Praise God for his merciful kindness, sending strangers to help and even sending angels to help. And by the way, angels do not always appear as humans. I relayed this before, I'll relay it again. There was this single mother who was raising one or two children, and she was a Christian. And that day, I think it was a Sunday or so, that day the kids were outside playing, and a dog had come up very friendly and was playing with the girls, and they were having great fun with the dog. The mother didn't have any problems with the dog being there. She didn't want to adopt it herself, but she thought it was just one of the neighborhood dogs. It belonged to one of the neighbors somewhere across the street or so. So she didn't have any thoughts about it. Well, the dog ended up coming into the house and was very friendly, very obedient, was not a terror to the furniture or anything. And so the mother didn't have any concern about it. Didn't want to keep it overnight, but didn't have any problem with it coming in the house and still befriending the children. And then there was a knock on the door. The mother went to the door and the dog was right there by the mother. The mother opened the door and here was this man standing there and the dog began to growl. The dog showed his teeth to this man and the dog, you know, that day had never done anything like that before. The man became afraid of the dog. And said that he had made a mistake in coming to the house and he left. And the dog, sort of followed the man out and the man went down the road and the mother, you know, thought about this and was kind of surprised that the dog would act that way because it had been friendly all day long. And went outside, the dog then was gone. And later, she had found out that this particular man was a man who had raped other single women in the past, and that obviously his intentions were to do the same, but the dog prevented him. So as the dog had just gone and the mother and the kids couldn't find it anywhere, and then when that history had been relayed to her about this man, she then recognized that God had sent that dog to prevent harm from coming to her and her children. And without a doubt, she believed that dog was an angel. The angel would have appeared as a man, there'd be no way that he would, you know, be able to be friendly with the kids and come into the house and but an animal, there was not that same resistance to friendship. And so that mother and her two daughters recognized that God can help, even though it may not be in human form. So praise the Lord. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies, dear ones, that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
Something similar to that happened with my mom and dad. They lived on the corner of Pine and Imperial. Imperial became a very much traveled road with people walking up and down the street all the time. There had been a little stray dog that was by their back door and, they gave it some water, but they didn't let the dog in the house because they had cats in the house. Anyway, sometime during the night, this little puppy dog, came running in, my mom and dad were asleep in bed, came running in the house and jumped on their bed and woke up my dad. And, he got up and he started out toward the kitchen and he saw a shadowy figure out there and he thought it was, Richard, their grandson, and he called out, "Is that you, Richard?" And the figure turned around and ran. And the back door was open in the kitchen, so it wasn't Richard. But when Dad saw the shadowy figure, this figure had a wire in his hand that he was kind of snapping back and forth. The little dog disappeared, and Dad always felt like if that little dog hadn't jumped on him during the night and woke him up, that maybe he and my mom wouldn't have been there, and the next morning wouldn't have been alive to tell about it. And we always felt that God had sent that little dog.
Amen. And praise the Lord. And thank you for sharing, my dear mother. I don't remember hearing that particular event before. And praise God indeed for protecting Nana and Grandpa.
I have a testimony, but this is not about angels. This is about neighbors. How can I put it? Okay. My sister lived in the building, and we had experienced so many individuals that bought this building that we had experience with each one of the owners. Well, this particular owner, he has like transformed the whole building. We have people coming in and out. We have new tenants coming in and out. But I started to notice that every time they would ring our bell to be able to, you know, to do all different, you know, things, the owner will come and he said, "Can you hold this key?" And then I said, "Okay." So now we noticed that it was the key for the apartment downstairs. Then it became the key for the basement. And then it became, people started to knock on our door and said, "My refrigerator, something is wrong with it," and things like that. So I had to tell the neighbor, "I'm sorry, we are tenant just like you are." They started to see everybody was coming in asking. Now the tenant, because they kept coming so often, the tenant said, "Oh, is it possible? I'm going away. Is it possible? Can you check downstairs and see if my door is open? Oh, by the way, the peephole." So then I said, "Gina, I think they think that we are supers because everybody seems to be able to come." Now, when I saw that it was really, really something, it was when a neighbor came and he says, "Can I use you as a witness?" And I said, "I'm sorry, excuse me." He said, "Can you sign this paper just in case something happens to me? My son, I don't have anybody. Can you please sign?" And I said to myself, this is a legal document now. I'm just a guest. You know, my sister live here. And, "Oh, no, but I trust you. Can you just do this for me?" So I started to notice. I said, "Gina, do you want to see how bad it is?" I just gave her the phone. And I have texts coming in asking, "Can I go downstairs and check their door or check these different things?" And so I said, "Can you please call the office?" It is so amazing that it looks like apartment 3L. It's like everybody go, they're over there. They will never tell you no. So whenever they have something that's going on in the building, they always come to be either they get Joshua or they get me. And we don't even live here. So I just wanted to say that how neighbors, after a while, when they see like a consistency in character and the way how you live your life, the way how they're so free to be so trusty. Sometimes I turn around and I say, "I don't know." Even though we tell them we are tenant and we are not supers, even the owner of the building leave things here, and I don't know how comes he trusts us so much. And there's a lot of responsibility. He would get, "Can you please give the key so they can open the basement?" And then I said, "Well, Gina, I don't know what's going to happen when we leave." I just wanted to share that.
Amen, dear sister. And what an open door to be able to witness to them. And I think it's your smile that just sort of wins them over in a trusting way. But what an open door to witness. Amen. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
I'd like to share a comment of something, a garden lesson that goes along with what we were studying earlier. And it's more about the 8 laws of health and the 2 that go along with Christ revealing and who he was to those disciples goes along with it. It's about abstemiousness. Temperance and rest. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were to practice abstemiousness. They were warned to abstain from eating that which was not good for them. And that was, of course, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Genesis 2:16-17. In our busy lives, with all we do, we need to be temperate or practice self-control in working and eating. We need to take time to be out in the fresh air and sunshine. A break from our daily duties brings rest to us. The garden is an excellent place to bring variety in our day and still use our time wisely. When we think of rest, we think about going to bed at night. We also gain rest by changing what we are doing. The garden is a place to learn lessons, praise God, and rest in Him. You could sing while you work or let your prayers ascend to heaven. Ministry of Healing, page 253 says, then let us educate our hearts and lips to speak the praise of God for His matchless love. Let us educate our souls to be hopeful and to abide in the light shining from the cross of Calvary. Never should we forget that we are children of the Heavenly King, sons and daughters of the Lord of hosts. It is our privilege to maintain a calm repose in God. In God's order, once you learn to deny self and temperance, we need to then learn to rest in Him. The disciples were so troubled when they began walking, but once Jesus joined them, He brought rest to their souls. Also, they got rest from their stroll by going to where they didn't and having that bread. Who knows? I bet they were practicing abstemiousness too, not ordering too much food for them to eat. Otherwise, they all could have bellyaches, or just the disciples could have bellyaches. But nonetheless, they practiced both abstemiousness and during their talk with Christ until He finally revealed Himself to them. And hearing that, we all know that we all have local work to do now and again, but that's what God made the Sabbath for, so we could rest from us from doing our usual labor. Even he rested. We remember that after on the seventh day that he rested from all the creation work he did. And I guess he knows when it's time to keep working and time to stop. So and since he's the creator of all things, no doubt he made a temperance from the beginning as well. As we evidently seen in our insight with Adam and Eve. And that goes along with whatever things happen now again. We can avoid all some things that can be harmful to us and stick with the good things. And even if there even too much of the good things, it can be a problem too. So we need to know when it's time we can do them and time to stop doing them. And both temperance and rest go hand in hand, and by things that we do all the time. And even that's the common I want to give.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. Are there any other comments or thoughts or testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones? Next time, we'll pick it up at the paragraph that begins, but with this great news, the news that they have proof, to them at least, incontrovertible proof that Christ is not dead, but has arisen. And that's pretty close to the top of page 801. And again, the paragraph begins, but with this great news. So that's where we'll pick it up next time. I want to thank one and all so much for your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your testimonies. It's been a wonderful service, dear ones. But now it's time for closing prayer. And who would like to offer that for our service? Please feel free.
Thank you, dear Lord, for these many experiences where you have saved our lives with angels, with dogs, with humans, with the kindness of their hearts. And we know that we are loved because you are able, and you started all the love here on this earth because you are love. Be with us the rest of the Sabbath day. May the Holy Spirit give us a blessing with the next meeting that's coming up. And thank you for your wonderful Sabbath day where we can stop all of the worldly cares that we have and just rest and rest in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise God for his merciful, loving kindness indeed. Well, let's go ahead and take a 13-minute break and then return back here at 12:25 Pacific time or 3:25 Eastern time. So about 13 minutes, dear ones, and we'll see you then.